May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. I've been asked many times why St. John's Episcopal Church has this service called the Kirken of the Tartans. I've been here now for 4.5 years at St. John's, and we've done one every year since I came. They used to do them back in the 80s, but they got stopped, but we started them again in the 80s. So I'm asked, why do we do this service called the Kirken of the Tartans? Well, first and foremost, it's just an awful lot of fun. The parading and the bagpipes and the drums and the banners and just a good old time, it's fun. And the pageantry is incredible and the music is awesome. And as we come into church, the Kirken of the Tartans, as we remember Scottish heritage and our own heritages, whether or not the Scottish, puts us in the presence of Almighty God. And it gives us a connection to our past. Not just those with Scottish heritage, but all of us as children of God. But there's a deeper meaning of this Kirken of the Tartans for the Episcopal Church. Now, you might not see it, but this is the Episcopal emblem and the Episcopal flag. And if you look closely at the Episcopal Church's emblem, it's got the red cross on a white background as its centerpiece. That reminds us that we are connected and we are from the Church of England. And we are Anglicans. And that tells us that we are Anglicans and have our birth in the Church of England. In the top corner there, you'll see what looks like a Scottish flag. The blue background with the white cross. And if you look even more closely at that, you'll see that the white cross is actually 9 small white crosses. And they represent every province of the Episcopal Church. Now, the reason that that's made to look like a Scottish flag is very significant. You see, when the English came over and made parts of the United States colonies, they brought with them none other than the Church of England. And so when we were still colonies, we were the Church of England. Now, all of you that are history buffs know that from 1775 to 1783, there was a WOA. A WOA that the English came second. The war that saw the birth of the United States of America. And after the war, all things English were not very well trusted. And certainly not very well respected. And the Church of England in America suffered the same consequences. Now, up until the WOA, all of the clergy in America had been sent from England. And they had been sent usually for a reason. They were not very good. Sometimes history repeats itself. What are you coming for? They just weren't very good, so they sent them off to America. But the problem was, okay, we had lots of priests and deacons, but there were no bishops. And you see, the Church of England in America was given oversight to the Bishop of London. And his title still today is the Bishop of London and all colonies. Now, of course, after the war, this new America did not want anything to do with anything English, and that also included the church. As I said, we had no bishops in America, and that was the huge problem with the church. Because as part of the one holy Catholic apostolic church that Jesus commissioned, It was the belief that any bishop that was consecrated had to be consecrated by at least 3 other bishops. Because when a bishop's consecrated, he can trace his consecration or her consecration through those who consecrated them, through those who consecrated them, and so on, all the way back to St. Peter. And that's what we call the apostolic succession. And for the newly formed Episcopal Church back in 1783, it was vitally important to be part of this apostolic succession. There was a priest in America called Samuel Seabury, and he was chosen as the first bishop of this new church. And since there were no bishops in America, he took the slow boat to England to ask them to consecrate him. Well, when you've just lost a war and a considerable amount of income, the reception that Samuel Seabury got from the Church of England was less than charitable. They simply said no. So Seabury, being on the island, decided to go from England and go north to Scotland, to the Church of Scotland, which was still part of the Anglican Communion. And the Church of Scotland consecrated Samuel Seabury, and he gave the newly formed Episcopal Church its first bishop. Well, the English, not wanting to be outdone by the Scots, they very shortly after consecrated 2 more Americans as bishops, and that gave the Episcopal Church the number of bishops to carry on the apostolic succession on the new work of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church in America. Now, I tell you this today to tell you simply this, that our Episcopal Church owes a great deal to its beginnings to Scotland, to the Church of Scotland. Our first prayer book in the United States was pretty much based on the Scottish prayer book. So we look back to that with a great deal of thankfulness and a great sense of gratitude. Because the Church of Scotland responded to a need. And the rest, we say, is history. See, the Church in America, before the war, was dependent on the Church of England for oversight and leadership. But we all know that leadership and oversight in any situation cannot come from far away places. The Church of England, the Church of Scotland, gave us our first bishop and set us free to preach and live the gospel with the people who God had put us with. How God can be preached, how the gospel can be proclaimed, can never be controlled by people in far away places. Because you know what? We do not live in far away places. And we do not live in the past. First lesson this morning from Deuteronomy tells us the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart for you to observe. And when Jesus talked about the kingdom, he said, don't look for the kingdom over there. And don't look for the kingdom in faraway places. The kingdom of heaven is among you. You. Do not look to the far off places. Don't even look to other people. Because my words are already with you. This is not about somewhere else. And this is not about somebody else. This is about you. We live in the families that God has placed us with. We live in the communities that God has placed us in. We go to the school or the office or the workplace that God has placed us in. And my guess is that in those places there will be other people too. Today we not only kirk our tartans. Kirk is simply the Scottish word for church. And the word church simply means to be called out. To be called out. So today we not only kirk or call out the tartans. Today it is you being called out. You. You're being called today. Not only to say the words of God, but to live those words of God. Those words like forgiveness and compassion and love and care, welcome and acceptance. We gather today for a service called Kirking of the Tartans, but today it is you that is being kirked. You must just not bear the tartan of your ancestry. But you must bear the good news of Christ in your word and in your actions. If you do that, it will be of you that is said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Because what we have is good news. What we have is gospel. What we have is Christ, who says to every single one of us today, follow me. Amen.